Hello, and welcome to Armenian News Network Grung. In this Conversation on Grung episode, Aspet Kochikyan, along with two esteemed guests, delve into the norms, educational outcomes, success factors, and pedagogy of the controversial government-proposed reforms of the K-12 education system in Armenia. Today, we focus specifically in the areas of Armenian history and literature. If you like what you hear, we'd appreciate your help in reaching a wider audience by subscribing to our channel, liking and sharing our podcasts. We're available on most major media platforms, including YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, dear listeners. Today is Sunday, August 9th, and on our topic today, on our discussion today, conversation that we're going to be having today, we're going to be talking about the education reform in Armenia. As many of you know, in recent months, Armenia's government has published its proposal for K-12 curriculum reform in Armenian schools. The new curriculum, which includes education standards and learning outcomes, proved to be quite controversial, with many individuals and groups criticizing one aspect or another of the proposed curriculum, notably the segments on literature and Armenian history. These criticisms range from in-depth critique of the content of the proposed plan to outlandish and sometimes baseless accusations. In order to shed some light on this issue, specifically the history and literature components of the new proposed curriculum, this week we have invited two scholars who have been following these debates and the content of the new curriculum intimately. I am joined today with Professor Siranush Dovoyan, who is a graduate of Yerevan State University and has taught there for over a decade. She is a literary studies scholar and also an associate professor of Armenian and comparative literature at the American University of Armenia. Our second conversation partner guest is Professor Arasanjan, who is an associate professor of history and the director of the Armenian Research Center at the University of Michigan in Dearborn. He has received his undergraduate degree from Yerevan State University in what was then Soviet Armenia and has been involved in various academic projects in Armenia. His research interests focus on the post-World War I history of Armenia, Turkey, and the Arab states of Western Asia. Welcome, Siranush and Ara. I'd like to start our conversation by trying to get a brief background on education reform in Armenia. In the last 30 years or so since its independence, what have the education reforms entailed in Armenia? What were the focus on? Ara, can you please provide a brief background, please?
I think the oldest Armenian history textbooks for secular schools in Armenian history, they came out around 1860. Both in the Ottoman Empire and also in the Russian Empire. When the communists came to power, first in, of course, Russia and in 1920 in Armenia, they actually abolished national political history all across the country. So there was no Russian history, no Armenian history, no Georgian history taught in schools in the Soviet Union until about 1934. In 1934, the Soviet government, under Stalin then, made a U-turn and actually decided to return national history into the school curriculum. And the first thing was, of course, that was produced was a history of the USSR, which was largely the history of Russia. And it came out around 1936. It was immediately translated into Armenian as well and was used in Armenian schools. And other editions on the same topic were released, of course, up until the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. When it comes to Armenian history, already efforts to prepare a curriculum for Armenian history at the school level began in Armenia in the second half of the 1930s. And the first textbook, which covered the period until 1795, from the very beginnings to 1795, appeared in 1943. A new version came out again in 1951, again covering events until 1795. But then, of course, it was only under Nikita Khrushchev period in the late 1950s that the first comprehensive Armenian history appeared for schools as a textbook, starting from the Stone Age to the times of Nikita Khrushchev at the time.
Why 1795 specifically? Is it the beginning of the Russian presence in the South Caucasus?
I assume so. The last event covered in both textbooks is the actually invasion of Tiflis by Aga Mohammed Khan, the founder of the Qajar dynasty, during which we, of course, believe that Sayat Nova was also killed. And up until the end of the Soviet period, there was an Armenian history class subject in Armenian schools with limited time afforded to it. And next to it, of course, students in Armenia, in Soviet Armenia, also studied the history of the USSR, as I said, largely Russian history, but some other, of course, history as well. And of course, there was also a separate track in what was called then general history. Now it is called world history. At that time, it was called Întanur Batmulțiun. After independence, of course, history of the USSR came out. And up until now, and this will continue, students in Armenian schools study both Armenian history as a separate subject and also world history as a separate subject. And there have been two generations of textbooks. One came out in the late 1990s of Armenian history, and another one came out in the toward the end of the first half of the 2000s. And these are the schools which have largely been, with very minor additions, are still in use in Armenian schools today. So they have been around for about 15 years. These new standards will basically are destined to open the road for the writing of new school textbooks.
Thank you very much for that background information to contextualize everything. Siranush, I want to ask you sort of the same question with a different sort of a nuance. If you were to look at the current proposed curriculum, what is the background? What is the motivation to push forward this curriculum? When was it conceived? And what were the developmental processes that it went through? Meaning, who was involved in it? How was the discussion, public or private, otherwise been structured?
Thank you, Asbet, for initiating this discussion. I just want to add a very short comment to Ara's introduction that reform of educational system in Armenia is permanent process. Starting from 2018, reforms in educational system of Armenia was on the government's agenda. The first step was the circulation of the draft proposal for the new law of higher education last year, which has met with great resistance and criticism. And the second one is this proposal of the new curriculum for school, which also met with public resistance. Separate groups of experts work on the different sections of the document starting from 2019. Most of the group members have both research and teaching experience. Some of them are working teachers now. They were included into the working groups according the current procedures of Ministry of Education, Science and Culture, and formally everything corresponds to the regulations. We have no problem, but we face some ambiguities here, both in terms of the criteria for selecting group members and the need for ongoing reforms. There is no doubt that there is a need to reform the educational system because the current system does not meet the needs of today's people, especially the Armenian-based one. But it's difficult to say that there is a clear understanding of what kind of reforms educational system needs in order to face the new challenges. Or what are those challenges? I don't meet any explanation of what kind of challenges we have now. These questions weren't in public agenda before the reforms were initiated, but you couldn't find the clear answers of them also in the circulating documents. For example, I prefer that will be some passage explaining why do we need such kind of reforms just now. As for the selection criteria of the experts included in the working groups, I mentioned that they are all have rich work experience, but as the discussion shows, they do not express the views of all the groups of the educational community in Armenia, not only in terms of reforms, but also in terms of the curriculum. Here we have some problems.
Thank you, Siranush, for that background. Also, just a follow-up question on this. In your mind, can you identify or can you think, you mentioned that not everyone was included in the process. Can you think of a notable exclusions in this in the discussion, at least how you saw it?
If I try to define what kind of groups we have in these discussions, we have a group of young writers that think that contemporary Armenian literature could be included in curriculum and presented enough. The second group is scholars, especially from Yerevan State University, Anadolu State University today, that they think that the methodology used for the learning Armenian literature is not historical. And so teaching of Armenian literature history are not included in the curriculum. And so this is problem for them because traditional approach of literary teaching of literature is not included there. And the next group, the last group, is this group of new-minded teachers or scholars that think that teaching of Armenian literature needs to change basically, but including some components of historical approaches.
I see. Which brings me to the next question, Siranush. In terms of the content, okay, you've studied it, you've been also involved in some of the discussions, group discussions. How does the proposed literature curriculum, the literature component of the curriculum, compare to the previous one? What are some of the main changes that you came across? What are some of the additions? And what are some of the omissions?
I know that the proposed one changed a lot, but there are still some points where the two are totally different. Let me introduce to the curriculum, taking into account the main differences. The current curriculum of literature, which have been in force since 2012, refer to the high school, where the programs for different flow and their outcomes are separated. At least it's mentioned that the teaching of literature provides both knowledge, including basic information about Armenian literature history and some concepts, and develop skills in reading, writing, expression, analysis, and creativity. It's a mandatory component to conduct independent research work of students. It's random or not, but there is no single mention of critical thinking in the program, current program. For example, Eastern Armenian intellectual Mikhail Nalbandian is one of the mandatory authors in program, but there is no comment about his critical activity. Okay, but it's not the case that the critical thinking is a part of the proposed curriculum. Here too, students is required to read, understand, reproduce, interpret the text without critical thinking. Only in the section of outcomes, see two components. They think we have the words in Armenian "knel" and "datel."
Examine and judge, maybe.
I think analyze and evaluate will be better.
It makes more sense.
So the novelty is that in the high school, instead of gaining basic knowledge about the history of Armenian literature, students go through project-based learning by developing an individual work plan with a teacher and develop competencies mentioned above. The main question we have here is when and where the student will learn, think critically, and practice it, if not in higher school, for example. The next issue I want to talk about is more ideological. According to the current program, a special place is given to the teaching of Armenian literature. Now, I have here a passage which I tried to translate now. With a special selection of educational materials, as well as with the ways of organizing the educational process, it should be emphasized that the students should be convinced of the important role of the Armenian language, literature, and culture in the preservation of the nation.
So this is, in other words, you're basically saying convinced, or, you know, in many other words, it's basically indoctrinated that Armenian literature is important for your identity. Mm-hmm. Okay.
As the proposed program emphasizes the development of competencies, literature functions as a database of samples. It's a controversial approach for me because we can't understand literature without its social and historical circumstances. And okay, I'm okay. We can change this chronological approach with another one, which I call historical approach, for example. And if I try to conclude or to summarize this part, the role of the written culture in the life of the Armenian people is beyond doubt. And there is no need to assume that the historically shaped culture could be presented differently, because we cannot edit the history retrospectively. But is the best way to understand the role of the literature in nation building historically is not to talk about it. After all, the literature text will constantly remind their readers about this. This point, by the way, caused a serious reaction in the society, and this part make a reaction. It's clear that part of the reaction was extreme, but on the other hand, it has its explanation. The shortest way is to think that the society is not ready for progressive changes, but the longer way is to think about how to bring literature to school. In my opinion, the working group didn't pay much attention to this issue.
And Siranus, just a follow-up, a lot of discussion has gone, and Arake, you can interject here as well, about the content and the choices of the literature, especially world literature, when you talk about the choice of the authors and so on. A lot of people argued, you know, you can't satisfy everyone all the time. But, you know, some people argued that there's not enough of, you know, literature from this culture or that culture. Even Western Armenian writers, Eastern Armenian writers, Iranian writers, Russian, Chinese, global, like world literature. What's your overall take in terms of the balance that exists? If you're teaching world literature, what's your take on this? Do you think it is representative, or is there one culture that is represented more than another?
In my opinion, in this curriculum, Western writers are dominant, Armenian writers, but after that, Western writers, and we have I think one Iranian writer and not Turkish writer, and Russian writers also we haven't here. And they have an explanation that Russian writers are part of Russian language, course of Russian language. But for example, Western Armenian writers and diaspora Armenian writers are not part of the curriculum, and we have no explanation here why. And beside that, there is no clear criteria for choosing writers or their works.
Right. It's arbitrary. Ara, you wanted to chime in?
I'm not an expert on how to teach. Essentially, I made just a calculation of the names and try to classify them, you know, according to time. In the case of the Armenians, as basically for the up to the 19th century, up to 1920, as Eastern or Western Armenian, and then as Soviet, post-Soviet, one group, and the other one as the diasporans. Or understandably, of course, Eastern Armenian and Soviet and post-Soviet authors predominate. So the number of Western Armenian and diasporan writers, we have Sonavan, I think she writes in Eastern Armenian, but she's a diasporan in the list. So there is a predominance, and that's in line with the way the Armenian public life has treated Western Armenians. So there's no novelty in this. Western Armenian has always been less important than Eastern Armenian in the public space, etc., of Armenia. Now, when it comes to the Western writers, I calculated there were 59 of them. 32 of them wrote in English, predominantly English and American, and there was a Canadian and Irish person. I think the next two groups are the Germans and the French.
Let me ask a question here, Ara. Excuse me. Now, when you say that these are Western writers, are these their texts or their works? Are they translated into Armenian, or they have to read it in English, for instance?
No, of course, they were reading Armenian translation. And then the next group, of course, is the English and French authors. And these include, for example, medieval, you know, literature like Chanson de Roland, which I consider as French literature for this case. And outside that, of course, there were very few other Europeans, like a Czech, Hašek is there, a very favorite of Eastern Armenians from the Soviet times. But once we go outside the European continent and North America, we have only one Nobel Prize laureate from Colombia and another one from Japan. There is not a single Indian author. There is not a single Chinese author. There is not a single Arab author. And there is not a single African author. Although, as we know, people from those parts of the world have won the Nobel Prize too as well. So we have winners there. And when it comes to Armenia's immediate neighbors, the Iranian literature is only represented to Shahnameh, which was written 1,000 years ago. There's not a single Georgian author. And of course, we will be, it will be very...
The Knight in the Panther's Skin would have been a good...
Well, I would have gone to a modern author like Baratashvili or even a Soviet era period like Dumbadze or whatever. Why not?
Right, right.
And so...
Or
and
of course, Sakurya.
The father, maybe, yeah?
Yes,
not
yes,
the famous,
father.
Yeah.
No, the father.
And so, of course, to expect to have an Azerbaijani or Turkish author is true. Although I know that many Turkish authors are bestsellers in Armenia. Orhan Pamuk, for example, in that sense. So that should not seem to be very strange. And there's not a single Kurdish author as well. So essentially, from the neighborhood of Armenia, the only representative is Shahnameh, written 1,000 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, 10,000 years ago, that would have been a cuneiform version. Yes. Thanks. Thank you for this elucidation. Ada, I want to sort of ask the same question that I asked Siranush earlier about the content of the proposed history curriculum in terms of to what extent you've read it. We've talked about this before. You've read it at least twice, the whole history curriculum in depth, and you have posted on your social media, also on Facebook, some excerpts from it. Could you provide a general background, again, looking at how does it compare to the previous curriculum, and again, omissions, additions, changes?
I read it once, but in depth, 109 pages of reading and 12 pages of notes. Just for my own use at this stage. And let me just, you know, how it was now. Under the current system, students in Armenia learn Armenian history twice. Once it's a four-year cycle, from 6th to the 9th grade inclusive. And then there's a second cycle for 3 years between classes 10, 11, 12, where, of course, there are separate textbooks for those who follow the direction of natural sciences, and of course a more detailed one for those who are in the fields of the humanities and the social sciences. The problem was that there was a lot of repetition. And if we also add that there is in the present curriculum a subject called History of the Armenian Church, which is taught for over a period of 7 years, and three of which is actually history. So essentially, the history from the 4th century until the 1920s is also repeated again. So technically, the students learn the same issues, roughly the same issues, over a number of years, three times. That's the problem is not the number of times. The problem is that all of them basically repeat one another. And there is now
in
actually...
In the old curriculum, you mean?
Yeah, in the current curriculum, which the government wants to have it replaced. So that was the issue that, you know, and there is no room for critical thinking, etc. It's more just like, you know, learning dates, etc. And most of the interpretations are provided to you in the textbook, and there is very little room for classroom discussion. Now, the new one actually has introduced another topic, which is a broad social studies course for the grades 5 and 6. The one which is for grade 6, which is called Myself, My Country and the World, Yes, Hayrenikas Yevashkara, I am told, I haven't looked at the curriculum, that includes quite a bit of history in it. But then, Armenian history is now taught in the middle school over a three-year period. But the hours have been extended. So essentially, because also the history of the Armenian church is out. So essentially, the fact what is being taught over 3 years is basically at par or even perhaps, I think, even more than what was being taught over 4 years. And it's still a very chronological narrative, which starts basically from the beginnings of the kingdom of Urartu and reaches the period of independence, you know, in 1991 and the Karabakh War. Then, of course, there is a drastic change in the way history is taught for grades 10, 11, and 12. Now they have opted what they call a modular system, which is they have taken three topics and covered those three topics each for a single year. They are suggesting to study Armenian statehood for grade 10, and they're starting it from the Kingdom of Urartu and ending with the fall of the Kilikian kingdom in medieval times. So there is no modern Armenian state. Now, in grade 11, they're studying what they call identity. They start from the 5th century, no explanation given in the standards, but I assume because in the 5th century we have texts in Armenian, which can be used as primary sources. And in the period of methodology, I will tell you why that is important later on. And the 12th grade, for me, it's a gem. It's a Soviet society, and it's a clear break from what is what history textbooks are in the present. And I think content-wise, it concentrates on social and cultural history. And although they do not mention oral history in the standards, I think either it can be added or any creative teacher can use it. So this is how what is being proposed. But as we know, these are not final yet. I know that the group is soliciting, requests. And for the time being, I cannot assume that they will ignore all suggestions. So let's wait and see. So there may be another round of discussion coming up once the finalized standards are published within a certain period of time. I don't know what time frame do they have in mind.
Okay, great. Now, we talked about the difference, the background, the differences, proposed changes, and so on. But putting aside the content for a moment, let's shift our attention to the standards and measurements that the proposed curriculum has. And I'd like to combine this with the question that I had later, but I want us to talk about how realistic and feasible are the norms, the standards, and measurable outcomes, as well as implementation, specifically talking about, is there a know-how, are there cadres, are there teachers who are able to implement these curriculum, including critical thinking that we talked about. So basically, the standards, norms, measurable outcomes, as well as the implementation, if we can combine this. I know it's a bit of a mouthful. It's a tall order to have all of this discussed in that content. But if you can combine all of these together, maybe, Ara, you can go first. And I'll ask the same, specifically about the history segment. And then, Siranush, you can talk about the literature aspect.
I think the most important issue is in the change in methodology when it comes to history. And because I have been a critic of the way history has been taught in Armenia, even at the college level, and some people know that I have had publications on this in the last 10 years, I welcome the changes. In the sense, it's a serious attempt to introduce to the Armenian classroom. And here I mean not only the classrooms in Armenia, but also in the few Armenian community schools that we have across the world, including where I studied my Armenian history in Lebanon. It will be introduced a great change in the way Armenian history has been taught. Because essentially it asks the teachers to prepare various tools of teaching, including films, including literature, including creating timetables, etc., and lots of other kind of classroom and homework activities, which have been part of the way history has been taught, what we call in Western Europe and North America for the past 30 years, but of course to which the Armenian system had been entirely immune. Now, this brings in, of course, the necessity to develop, for example, new manuals for teachers, exemplary, for example, suggestions of what kind of activities can devise. Maybe they should create a website, for example, when teachers, when they create those activities, share them with their peers. And, for example, even the ministry may offer small prizes or incentives for those who produce, for example, good teaching materials, etc. I'm not saying that they don't have these things in mind. I'm sure they do. But, I believe it's For the second section, of course, the major assessment is said to be that will be classroom presentations and also writing of short essays. This is a clear break from all those, you know, multiple choice questions with which I think students were tested about history, you know, even if I'm not wrong, in the and if I'm wrong, Siranush will correct me, even when they have university entrance examination. So that's a clear break.
Are there any provisions, Ara, in terms of thinking about like teaching, training for teachers or, you know, training of trainers, specifically when it comes to outside of Yerevan? Are there any thoughts or any suggestions in that proposal?
I think, no, not in the standards. And of course, the standards are not the place where these things will be written. I can only rely from what I learned, from listening to interviews in the past 2 or 3 weeks, not only from the leader of the group, who has designed this curriculum, but also from the Deputy Minister of Education. And basically, based on what they said, I think they're aware of these problems. Now, beyond that, I really have no idea, and I don't want to make speculations.
Okay. Thank you, Ara. Siranush, what about you? What is your take about the content? What is your take about the standards, norms, and also the applicability of the literature segment in this proposed curriculum? How feasible is it? Is it realistic what they're talking about?
Main change I'm not in the curriculum, that it encourages the student to think and to work freely. And it's a great approach, of course, because we know that now students in Armenian during the Armenian language and literature classes are not free to do, for example, separate and independent projects. And this is encouraged in high school now in this proposed curriculum. And it's great. I notice some uncertainty here because three concepts they try to evaluate all this process. One is reading, the second is creativity, and the third is identity, inklusion.
In the proposed curriculum.
In the proposed curriculum. Which one we discuss now? Okay, reading. By the reading, they mean that a student can evaluate the content and the form of the text or literary work. Creativity is defined as the ability to research proposed topic and create a new one. It's okay. But what about the concept of identity? I cannot understand clearly what they mean because we have two words here, verabermung yev gnahatul, only these two words. But from the outcomes, we can say that this part assesses students' communication skills and the ability to evaluate any text on his own or her own. Why they call this part as identity, I don't know exactly. And beside this, I found some inconsistency. For example, in the first grade, the student should be able to comprehend the completeness of the text. In the first grade, when student is six years old, maybe, or seven. And in the second grade, the student should be able to retell the text or describe his feelings. It's so simple for this age. The first one is so difficult for this level. But I think that this part could be edited. And if the group work well, this part could be edited. I think that the great problem for this curriculum is teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who should teach this curriculum? Because it's a totally new one for the teachers. Because, you see, we have resistance from the society and from the teachers. Especially from the teachers, they have some resistance because they believe that Armenian literature have a very significant, play a very significant role for the Armenian. And now it's the same. They don't think another way. And so if we take out the literature, the part has that the literature has no ideological significance, we take the content of the literature from the teachers. And they are afraid how to change, how we can change totally the content of the literature. I think that this is a problem, and this we should face this problem, and to find some kind of solutions. For example, Aram tell about the trainings or website, or I don't know. Databases, some such kind of. So I don't think that that this is the best way for starting. Yes, but this is the best way to find resolutions or to make deep reforms. Because now we have such kind of teachers. They are trained. They take some courses, they train, they know new methods for teaching, etc. But they cannot change their minds to read literature newly.
Critically.
And I think this is the problem for Armenian literature. I don't know how it's about the history. But for Armenian literature, I think that's the problem.
And based on what you both said, I think there is a major software need for a major software upgrade, especially when it comes to teachers and the way it's taught. It's not just about the teaching, what is being taught, but how is it being taught and who is teaching it. This is actually has been very informative in a sense that we managed to clean out the static and the background noise that this topic has been under scrutiny for the last couple of weeks, in the sense that it's politicized and there are a lot of blames or a lot of false accusations and so on and so forth. This has been quite an interesting in-depth, but at least an introduction to understanding these changes. To end the conversation, and for those listeners who are not aware of this, in Armenia, basically, whenever a student has to be evaluated, it's on a scale of 1 to 5. So not 100%, it's on a scale of 1 to 5. I'd like to get very briefly, Ara, how would you evaluate the current, on a scale of 1 to 5, the current proposed curriculum of history?
As I said, the major change is in methodology. The content, at least when it comes to history, is not a lot of, there's not a lot of difference in the standards. How the textbooks will be written, because there probably will be room for the authors, you know, to devise new subtopics and other things. But when it comes to methodology, and that's what I will evaluate, this is only a gateway. If in the next 3 to 5 years, the ministry does a lot of activities to improve the teaching quality, to improve the teachers and produce
the pedagogy, you mean?
Yeah, and also to produce a minimum amount of teaching tools and exemplary, you know, exercise, classroom exercise, etc., which the teachers may start with. And if all this is done well, my evaluation will be between 4 to 5. If things get messy at the implementation stage, I still welcome the desire to change, and I will then put it between 2 and 3. However, I think when it comes to teaching history, these new standards are in the correct direction, and I hope that they will prepare students better to interact with their peers, even as students and later on as specialists, if they want to become a specialist in history, much better than what the current textbooks are.
Thank you, Ara. And I have to mention that Ara is a tough grader, so that has to be kept in mind. Siranush, what about you? What are your thoughts about evaluating as it's the proposal as is, literature section at least?
As a proposal, the content and the methodology, as the content and the methodology is not so clear and developed. Just now, I can put 3 only for this draft, but if it would be worked and developed the content and the concept, well, the concept of teaching of literature and literature approach to a new approach for literature history, if they want to include this part, literature history, as a part of the teaching of literature. As Ara taught, the world, the process of implementation, if it will be successful, I put 4 or 5. If not, not.
Okay.
But I'm very happy that we start to think about new approaches toward literature. And we start to make some changes.
Thank you very much, Professor Arasanjan and Professor Siranush Dvoyan, for this very informative and educating, pun intended in this case, conversation that we had. I hope our listeners, you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed talking about it. And join us next time to talk about various issues, including education, and even in more depth discussion about other issues that we might have left out. Thank you, everyone, and see you later.
That concludes this week's conversation on Grung on Armenia's debate on educational reform. Despite some of the rhetoric, we're encouraged that so many segments of society have become engaged in this national discussion and are bringing their input into the mix. We'll continue following this discussion and keep you abreast on the topic as it progresses. We hope this conversation has helped your understanding of some of the issues involved. We will look forward to your feedback, including your suggestions for future conversation topics. Contact us on our website at grung.org, that's G-R-O-O-N-G, or on our Facebook page, ANN Grung, or in our Facebook group, Grung-Armenian News Network. Special thanks to Laura Osborne for providing the music for our podcast. I'm Hovik Manocharyan. And on behalf of everyone on this episode, I wish you a good week. Thank you for listening and talk to you next week.